So this has been a fun morning. I love transitions and leadership. It's a good thing. And it's so apropos that we're doing this today because we're talking about calling from 1 Corinthians. Today's sermon is titled Clarity and Calling. And if you've been following along over these last several months as we've had these sheets of notes, right? Normally there's like 3 to 6. If you look at it today, there's a lot of notes today. This is an important Sunday. Not that any other Sunday isn't, but there's a lot to remember and a lot to think about today because the reality is, I'm going to give you the end of the sermon at the beginning. All of you are called to something. All of you are called to serve in God's kingdom in some way, shape, or form. We're going to continue our series from chaos to clarity today, and we're going to jump ahead a few chapters from where we've been. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17. So if you want to get your Bibles open, we're going to get there in just a second. Just one single verse today. This morning's message, as I said, is titled Clarity in Calling. Our world is filled with distractions and uncertainties, right? These distractions and uncertainties cause us serious heartburn, don't they? I know for me they do. I don't know how many of you saw the opening ceremony to the Olympics. I was saddened and disappointed, as it seems like there's not a day that goes by that I'm not surprised by the level of depravity of our culture. But in the midst of all of this, Scripture tells us that we are supposed to discern the calling God places in our lives. An important truth to keep in mind throughout this morning's message is that we are all called. Each of you have a purpose. People ask the question, you probably heard people say this before, what is the meaning of life? Scripture actually gives us the answer, and it's not that complicated. In fact, Jesus shares that it is to follow him and to be like him. That is the meaning of life. His Spirit fills us, it equips us, and it empowers us to build his kingdom. There is clarity that comes when you recognize and live into the calling that God has given you. When we turn to God's word in 1 Corinthians 7:17, we are reminded that God has a specific purpose and calling for each of us. And the truth is that discovering and living out that calling will bring clarity and fulfillment in our life. Let's stand for the reading of God's word this morning. 1 Corinthians 7:17 out of the NRSV version. However that may be, let each of you lead the life that the Lord has assigned, to which God called you. Listen to the way the Message Bible paraphrases this passage. And don't be wishing you were someplace else. Where you are right now is God's place for you. Live and obey and love and believe right there. Father, help us this morning to begin to discover your calling in our lives, or maybe for some of us to rekindle the fire for our calling. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's begin by talking about how we understand our calling. Each of us is uniquely called. Uniquely called. Now, I have shared a lot about my story over the last year, but I don't believe I've really talked about how I was called into ministry. So, when I was a former college student, I was back in 2007, I was serving in my church as a youth leader, helping lead worship for the youth group. And I was working a dead-end job, a job that, you know, some people make a career out of it, and I don't mean to degrade that or diminish that, but for me, it was a dead-end job because I knew it wasn't what God had for me forever. And I was working at a printing press, and I was literally pushing paper around with a forklift. That's all I did. And it was hot and sweaty and humid and awful every single day. It's kind of like living here. Illinois really all isn't all that different from here when it comes to this time of year. People were using foul language in this industry. I mean, it's just lots of swearing and telling dirty stories and things of that nature and dirty jokes. And I just didn't feel comfortable in my skin there. And I remember that whole summer in 2007, I was praying, God, please, please show me what I'm supposed to do with my life. This can't possibly be it. I quit school after 4 years, didn't graduate. And I felt like a failure. It was an awful, awful summer. But I prayed and I prayed, and my pastors were praying for me. My parents were certainly praying for me so that I could get out of their house and become a real adult, a real boy. But I prayed and I prayed, and I'll never forget September 19th of 2007. It was a Wednesday night, and I was driving to the church. And I was getting ready for my Wednesday night activities, helping lead worship for the youth group. And every Wednesday was pretty much the same for me. I would show up to the church after work, and I would go and meet with my friend, Pastor Adam. And Pastor Adam was the one that led me to Christ. You guys have heard him talked about before. But I would go to his office, and we'd talk and shoot the breeze. And if it was football season, we'd talk about the Buckeyes or the Bears. And then after that, I'd go downstairs in the church in the old choir room, and I would meet with Pastor Brian, and Brian was the worship pastor of the church, and so I would share with him what songs we're going to do for youth group. He was kind of my leader in that and make sure that I had all my ducks in a row and all of that. And so I'm driving home, and I'm stuck in traffic, or driving to the church, rather. And if you've ever been in traffic, you may have seen somebody, like I should have shown the Terry Crews video, but sometimes you'll see those people who have no care in the world. They're singing, and they're like really into the song that they're singing. And you kind of look over and you kind of laugh at them a little bit because it's funny to look at, you know? If you've ever seen Terry Crews, the African-American actor, there's one, actually probably more than one scene from movies where he's doing that. It's like his thing. So I was doing that. I was listening to this song, All to You by Lincoln Brewster, a Christian worship song. It's really fast and upbeat, and I'm singing, and I'm just letting it go, and I'll never forget. I heard a voice in my head that I had never heard in my life, and that voice said, "Be silent." So I turned the radio off, and what I heard was a voice and a message that I did not want to hear. It's time to go into ministry. Nope. That is not the answer I was looking for. And I turned that back on, and so I turned the radio, and I started singing again, and then I started having tears in my eyes, and I heard the voice. It was louder and more persistent this time. It said, "Be silent," and so I turned the radio off, and this time, much louder, the voice said, "It is time to go into ministry." Well, I had 45 minutes left in my drive. It was really only like 30 miles, but it took 45 minutes to get there, And I spent that whole 45-minute drive arguing with God, just like Moses. All the reasons why this doesn't make sense, God. I am not the person. At the time, I thought I was too old. Now I wish I was that young again. Man, what if I knew then what I know now? Life would be different. But I argued, and I said, "I'm just not the person. God, you got this all wrong." I pull into the church parking lot, and I took a few minutes to compose myself, trying to get the red out of my eyes and just sit there and be calm so I could walk in the church and act as if nothing had happened, because that's what we do sometimes. You know, when we're upset, we just put on a face and a mask, and we walk into church and act like everything's okay. But inside, I was torn up. I walk into Adam's office, Pastor Adam, and he says, "You know, before we talk about anything, I was praying this morning, and you came up." I said, "Oh, no." He said, "Have you ever thought about getting your local minister's license?" "No, not really, until today." And so I shared with him what had happened in the car, and he says, "Michael, that's right there, that's affirmation. God spoke to me, God spoke to you. That means you're supposed to do this thing." And so we talked together, he prayed for me, and I composed myself again. Went downstairs to meet with Pastor Brian, and out of Pastor Brian's voice, the first thing he says to me, "You know, I was thinking today, you should go through the MPP classes," which are the back in the day was what we call course of study, how to become a pastor in the Church of the Nazarene. You should take those classes. Why? Why would you say that? God told me to. So I told him the story of what we had talked about and what I had talked about with Adam, and he said, Michael, if God's smacking you across the face, okay? You're supposed to be a pastor. This is what you're supposed to do with your life. And from that moment on, I have served in ministry for years and years now. Only because of God's grace was I called into ministry. I do not think that I am talented enough, gifted enough to do these things. It's only because of God. And I tell you that story because I believe that God has called each of us uniquely to do the work for his kingdom. I want you to all know that our calling is not based on our abilities or our accomplishments, but it is on God's grace alone. I'm going to say that again. Our calling is not based on our abilities or our accomplishments, but it is based on God's grace. The moment you think you're good enough to do something for God is the moment you need to be humbled. We're not supposed to think we're good enough because we have to rely on the Holy Spirit. If we think we've got it all figured out and we can do it ourselves, we're not going to be useful for God because we need to rely on the Spirit. Your abilities, your accomplishments ultimately do not belong to you. Do you hear that this morning? Your gifts, your talents don't belong to you. They belong to God. Our calling is meant to bring glory to him and to bless others. Part of understanding our calling is discovering your personal calling, right? This is common sense. We have to discover our calling. But in order to discover your calling, there's something central and something foundational that you have to do. You must pray. I don't know that I would have heard God's voice in my life in September of 2007 had I not been praying that whole summer asking God to share something with me. I wouldn't have been listening. But because I had been praying and asking God to do something, I was in my spirit ready to receive the message that God was going to give, even if I didn't want to hear it. You need to seek his will for your life. As many of you know, all of you know, I was ordained a couple weeks ago. And those of you who were here on that Wednesday night got to hear more of my story. If I didn't have a true sense that God had called me, I wouldn't have made it through all of the stuff that you guys heard about that night. I would have given up. Because if I'm not truly called, I can't handle the trials of being called in ministry. Being called is about God's will, not about our own. It's something that every single one of us has to learn, sometimes the hard way. I've told you before, it was not my will to go to Oregon, but God blessed it. It was not my will to go to New Mexico, but God blessed it. It was not my will to come to South Carolina. It was God's will, but God's blessing it. This is a difficult reality because we like getting our own way, don't we? Having said that, the best way to align our will with his is through the act of prayer in listening to God. Some of you may not believe this, but some of us in this room are called to pastoral ministry. Some who are in this room are called to missionary work. And some are called to serve in lay roles within the church. And all of those are important roles. None is more important than another. Either way, we are all called. We can't live abundantly, as Jesus said, without living into our calling. If you sit and you come to church and you just sit in the chair and you never serve, you never do anything, you just kind of take and take and take and take, you're missing some of the biggest parts of being a follower of Jesus. We are not called to come and sit in a chair and never give anything away. To the contrary, we're called to give it all back to him. Part of discovering our calling requires reflecting on our passions and our talents. At the intersection of these pieces, we can begin to find God's will for us. Either piece alone is not enough, because we can be passionate about something that we're not gifted in. For example, I'm passionate about football, but obviously I'm not an NFL coach. I was not an NFL quarterback. I would have been the heaviest NFL quarterback ever, but I have passion, so shouldn't I be an NFL coach? I play Madden. I play College Football 25. If you haven't gotten it, you should. It's been 10 years. Just because I may have a gift in something, in the same way, just because I have a gift in something doesn't mean I'm called. Let me give you another example. I was a talented pharmacy technician. I was really good at it. Like, I really, really was good at it. In fact, my dad said, you need to go to school to be a pharmacist because then you'll have money and you'll be happy. And I was like, no, I may have money, but I won't be happy because I don't want to do this the rest of my life. I didn't have a passion for it. It was a means to an end. It wasn't my calling. On the other hand, I am passionate about preaching the gospel and serving and leading in God's church. That intersection lays out my calling very obviously. This is what I'm gifted at. This is what I love. The final thing that helps us to discover our calling is to speak to your pastor and other leaders around you. You have to open your mouth. You have to put yourself out there. You have to take a step of faith and say, I'm going to do this thing. Many times, those around you will see the calling in you before you do. One of the gifts that I have, and I've had for many years now, is that I tend to see gifting in other people. I see potential in people that they certainly don't see in themselves. I can see where somebody is gifted and called. And I've been blessed to be able to help lead others in their calling. In fact, one student I had on the district where I came from, this last church, he is now a youth pastor on our district up there in the Northwest. I encouraged him. I sat with him. He wasn't even from my church, but he was on the district. We had made a connection, and I sat down with him, and I said, hey, you need to follow your calling. God has called you and gifted you to be a youth pastor. I can see it. And he didn't believe it. He's like, I got out of high school, and I didn't go to college, and I'm not gifted. Dude, I didn't finish college. What are you talking about? Don't make excuses. If God's called you, go do it. And he is now a youth pastor at the Lewiston Church of the Nazarene in Lewiston, Idaho. It's really cool. I've told you before about my former student, Mika, from my last church. Kid is just graduated her senior year. She's a freshman, going to be a freshman at Northwest Nazarene University. I encouraged her call. She's going to be a chaplain in a hospital. She knows that as a freshman in college, she's going to be a chaplain in the hospital. I've never heard of that in my entire career. She's a first student. Because God called, she responded, and she's going through, beginning now, the process of becoming a hospital chaplain. How cool is that? The second big part of understanding our calling is embracing that calling. Once we have discovered our calling, we have to embrace and live it out. You have to embrace it and you have to live it out. Going back to my story, I could have said, no, I'm not doing it, God. And I would have missed, whether it was being a pharmacy tech or whether it was doing something else with my life, I would have missed a huge blessing of being a pastor these last 15 years. There are a lot of things that I wouldn't have been able to experience because I wasn't a pastor if I hadn't accepted the calling and embraced it and began to live it out. And the same is true for you. This requires us to trust God's timing and God's plan for our life. Patience is not a virtue that is easy for me. Anyone else have a hard time waiting on God? Okay, yeah, many hands went up, or at least half went up. Yeah, that's me. as I said before, sometimes it's about stepping out in faith and obedience to fulfill your calling. Other times, all that is required is having perseverance and staying focused on God's will and being patient and waiting. My sister, she's a pastor in the church, as many of you know, and she was at big churches right almost from the very beginning of her pastoral career. She has never been bivocational in ministry. And I, as a young man, was like, man, what am I missing? Why am I not getting that opportunity? I had to be patient. And that day did come, and I did become a full-time pastor. And now I'm not only a full-time pastor, I'm a lead pastor, which I would have never imagined for myself 15 years ago. If you would have said, you're going to be a pastor, a lead pastor in South Carolina, I would have said, you're nuts. It's not going to happen. But God works in mysterious ways. Now let's spend some time talking about how we live out this calling. Our calling impacts every aspect of our lives. When you are called in ministry, as we all are, and you live into that calling, you embrace that calling, it is going to affect every aspect of your life. It changes our priorities. Our lives need to revolve around serving God and other people. We move from a self-focus to an others' focus. This leads us to begin to serve in creative and unique ways. God gives us the ability to come up with these cool new ways to serve. It's what brings the creative juices to the church to do ministry in unique and new ways. And the truth is, our calling will change over time. Look at my calling. I never knew I would end up being a worship pastor, and that was what I spent most of my life doing. I was the black sheep of my family when it came to music. I was the runt in that department. My siblings are exponentially more talented than I am at music. But yet, God chose to use the little bit of talent that I had and to increase the little bit of talent I had. He did this to give me a way to serve the church for the last 15 years. This leads to an important part of living out our calling. We must use our gifts for God's glory. And we can easily mess this one up. Each of us must identify and develop our spiritual gifts. God gives all of us gifts that are meant to be used for His kingdom benefit and glory. These gifts help us to serve our GC NAS family and Greenwood as a whole. When we do this, we bring honor and glory to God. Each of us must walk in obedience to God. To walk in obedience to God, we have to recognize that it's not about us, that it's about Him. It's about His will, His direction, His guidance, His calling in our life. We've talked about it. We are unapologetically a holiness church. We consistently teach that our actions and our decisions must align with God's word. Sometimes God calls us to do things in our lives that don't make sense. And we may not want or feel comfortable doing those things. We need to trust in God's faithfulness and God's provision. He knows better than us. He created us, right? He knows what we're capable of, way better than we know what we're capable of. And furthermore, because His Spirit lives inside of us, He knows what He is capable of doing through us, because it's the Spirit who does it. Which, by the way, is anything. God is capable of doing anything through you. Seek God's guidance, and I can guarantee He will never fail you. Finally, let's talk about the last part that is really important about our calling. We are to encourage others in their calling. We talked about Jim. I know he doesn't like being the center of attention right now, but I'm going to use him as an example. He cares about the calling of other people, and he was willing to step aside from a leadership position because he cares about the calling of other people. That takes humility and humbleness, right? And not all of us are very good at that. And sometimes it's hard. Like, if I've got a position, I don't want to let go of that. But we need to be encouraging to others in their calling, which means sometimes taking a step aside so somebody else can rise and God can use them for a while. If we continue to close the door behind us so somebody older than us steps away so we can step in, and then we shut the door and say, well, I'm the last one in here till I die. You're not being faithful to even the people that came before you. And you're certainly not being faithful to God and allowing God to work and move in other people's lives. Church, we are called to support each other and to encourage one another in our unique callings. We must do this even when it requires us to step back to give someone else the opportunity to fulfill their calling. We can learn from one another and be inspired by the calling of one another. Sometimes, again, we inadvertently close the door behind us. We are called to raise up leaders. Whether they are adults or teenagers or children. Next week is our next Family Sunday. And it, I would say, is the first Family Sunday because it's going to look a lot different. And we're doing it differently because we're raising up leaders with our kids and our teenagers. We want to see the young people of our church not look at it as this is their church in the future. This is their church today. One thing our church, not just our church, the church, has gotten away from in the last 40 or 50 years, we have forgotten that it is our job to raise churchmen and churchwomen, teaching them to take on the roles of leadership within the church. If you don't want this church to die, we need to raise up leaders. If you don't want this church to be back in the corner and shrinking, you need to raise up young people. The question has been asked, why do young adults, like Emmanuel, who's just graduated, why do they leave the church and never come back? Because we're not doing an effective job of raising up leaders, not giving them ownership of their church. So we need to do that. Let's do it. And I know we can. And I know the hearts of many of you, you want to do that. We just need to take the step to do it. We are called again to raise up leaders, and I have always led this way. And it has frustrated people who are older. I've been at churches where I've brought kids up on stage to lead worship, and they're like, we don't let kids up on stage. They break things. So, we don't let teenagers sing because, you know, they're not committed, you know, these sorts of things. They're never going to be committed unless you push them to be committed and give them the space to grow and be a part of it. When we live this way as a church, it will make us more successful as a church, amen? Together, we can make a greater impact for God's kingdom when we do it this way. As a church, our goal is to continue to build a community of believers who are seeking to live out their individual callings together. Our desire is for our church to be a place where we can all share our experiences and our struggles with one another. We want to be a place where we pray for and encourage each other in fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. I'm looking for somebody else to step up. I'm going to tell you what I'm looking for. Talked to Charlie about this in the last few weeks, and it's something that we feel is really important. We want somebody to rise up as a leader for prayer in our church. And what we want to see happen is a group of people, it may be one, it may be 17, I don't know, but a group of people that are in one of those rooms over there during service praying for what's happening in this room every single Sunday morning and every single Wednesday night, praying for our kids, what's happening in junior church. I want people being baptized. I know this is what God wants, to see people being baptized every single Sunday because that means God is moving. So if you feel called, if prayer is something that you really love to pray, we should all be praying, by the way, okay? But if that's a way you can minister, is being a prayer warrior, and that's something you want to do, please talk to me after service or sometime this week, because this is not something that requires any curriculum or strategy. It's just showing up and praying, getting people together to pray. I want that team to be praying every time our kids go on a trip, or our teens go on a trip, or our senior adults go on a trip. I want them praying that day at that time for those kids, for those teenagers, that God is going to be working. Because I believe if we get prayer as the central part of what we're doing, if it's that foundational, the calling stuff is going to take care of itself. Church, let's continue to partner in ministry together in this new year. If we join together in serving and reaching out to our community, we will be unstoppable. We have the God who can move mountains behind us. We are unstoppable. I want us to say that together. We are unstoppable. One more time. We are unstoppable. When we use our collective gifts and talents, we will make a greater impact for God's kingdom in our community. We also need to remain committed to supporting and uplifting one another in times of difficulty, change, and challenge. I want you to close your eyes for a moment. I want you, particularly if you're an older person, I want you to think back. Think back to somebody who has had a large impact on your life in the church. Somebody who encouraged you. Somebody who pushed you to serve, pushed you to use the gifts and the talents that God has blessed you with. As you think about that, I want you to think about somebody in this church. Maybe it's a teenager or a young adult. Maybe it's a kid. Maybe it's even an older adult. But somebody that you have a connection to, that you feel God might be calling you to speak to encourage, to lead, so that they can serve and be used by God in ministry. Open your eyes. Whoever that person is, on your sheets, I want you to write their name down. Maybe it's somebody in your family, whoever it is, just write their name down. And I want you to stick this note page in your Bible so that when you open it, their name is right there in your face. Because number one, you should be praying for them. And number two, go and talk to them. Encourage them. Ask them what they're gifted at. Ask them if they've talked to me or to Rosemary or to Tommy or Rachel or any of the other ministry leaders in our church. As we close, the band is going to come. Let's remember to continue to seek clarity in our calling. Let us also remember that God has a unique and purposeful plan for each of us. By understanding, embracing, and living out our calling, we can bring glory to God and make a significant impact on our world. Let us, as GC NAS, continue to encourage and support one another in fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. Let's pray, church. Heavenly Father, you are a God who calls us. You are a God who equips us for ministry. You give us the ability to serve in ways and in ministry areas that we never expected to. You are an equipper. We don't have to worry about doing things in our own strength and in our own ability, because you give us the strength and the ability to do the things that you need us to do for your kingdom. Father, our prayer today, my prayer for all of our people, is that they would know the calling that you have placed on their lives, that they would have that vision and discernment and understanding. And whatever that calling may be, that they would step out in faith, that they would trust you, and that they would live out that calling. And Father, all we can say is thank you. Thank you for trusting us to be the ambassadors, to be the messengers for your message, your truth to our world that so desperately needs it. And Father, all we ask is that you would continue to use us in the way you see fit. And everyone said, amen. Stand with us as we worship.